If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the studio.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We started a series of discussions based on the, in fact, jurisprudential laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei regarding partnership from the last episode onwards, and inshallah, we're going to continue and pursue along the same line regarding partnership and shirka in Shia fiqh, of course. Let me begin with a question that was sent to us, in fact, by an individual. He says that I contributed to the capital of a company and appointed the owner of the company as my agent as far as the investment is concerned, right, provided that he pays me a fixed monthly sum of money. A year later, I sell for a plot of land he gave me in return for the money I put into the company and the profits thereof. The question he's asking, is this legal according to Sharia laws?
Well, since you placed money in the company as an investment and gave the company owner permission to use it on your behalf, this arrangement counts as a legitimate business partnership. There is nothing wrong with it. It is permissible according to Islamic Sharia. The profits you receive are considered halal because they come from an authorized investment and not from a forbidden source.
Mm.
It's not something you can consider as kind of riba or usury. The agreement reached between the property owner and the agent,
yes,
or the company owner, is quite legal as it seems. And of course, later when the owner offered the individual a piece of land instead of continuing with monthly payments,
mm-hmm,
and he accepted it in full settlement of his investment and profits, this was a valid transaction as well, because it depends. And for example, the land is also as valuable as the, yes, money itself, because it can be sold.
It serves as a capital.
Yes. And there's nothing wrong with receiving the piece of land.
Mm.
In Islamic law, such a settlement, we call it sulh in Islamic jurisprudence.
So, right,
it's a kind of negotiation. It's a kind of reconciliation, mm-hmm, when it comes to how they make the arrangement and how the payment is made. It's made either in the form of cash or in the form of a piece of land. And both cases, it is considered, in Islamic terminology, it's called sulh. So it is permissible, and the land he receives is rightfully his, and it belongs to him.
Mm. I see. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah.
guide me all the way to your Jannah, Ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad Hossain's program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws concerning partnership according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, a number of people, Sheikh, bought an object collectively.
Right.
They agreed between themselves or among themselves to draw a lot to determine the owner. So what's the ruling according to Sharia laws?
Well, if several people jointly own an item and they agree among themselves to draw lots to decide who gets to take the item, well, this is allowed as long as the understanding is that whoever's name comes up will take the item on behalf of the group. This is permissible. And of course, the other people who do not take the item are essentially giving their shares to him willingly. And their permission, their consent is very much essential when it comes to such an arrangement. They are giving their own share to that individual willingly. This is simply a way of dividing what is jointly owned, okay? And but if the intention is more like gambling, meaning, for example, each person risks losing their share completely while another gains the whole thing, then this is not a valid agreement in Islamic law. It is a kind of gambling, okay? Because one party wins, the other party loses, and then this is nothing other than gambling, okay? Because everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to take a possession of that property. But only one out of many people happens to get or win the lot or get the item. The other people suffers loss and there's no consent. In the heart of heart, if you look at them, they think that, okay, they wish they had that share and they did not. And so they have to give it to the person who wins. This is a kind of gambling, and of course the Islamic Sharia does not allow such a mechanism or such a game. The difference lies in the intention, you know, that's the point. A fair division is allowed, but treating the lot as a game of winning and losing is not allowed. It is considered to be kind of betting.
But you said the consent.
The intention is very important.
The intention. In addition to the intention, what about their consent? Agreement.
If they willingly, as I said, if they willingly give their share.
Yes.
To the person, to that one only individual.
Without drawing a lot.
Without drawing a lot, yes. Okay. This is, you know, because all of them own that item. There's only one item, and that item is owned, and then they, out of their own accord, they give it to only one person. They surrender their portion to him.
Yes.
There is no problem, and as long as the understanding is that whoever's name comes up will take the item on behalf of the other people, it's okay.
I see. All right. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take another break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws concerning partnership or shirkah according to the Islamic jurisprudence issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, two people jointly bought a plot of land. They have been cultivating the land for some 20 years. One of the partners sold his share to a third party. Does he have the right to do so in the first place, according to Sharia laws or Islamic laws? If he refuses to sell his share to his partner, can the latter do anything about it?
Right. Well, as you said, when two people own land together, each has the right to sell their own share whenever they wish, because it is his property, and he can sell his property to whomever he wants, even to an outsider. It is permissible. The other partner cannot prevent this sale or demand to be the only buyer unless they use the right of shuf'a. And this right of shuf'a, which is called preemption, the right of preemption, they use this kind of right. In that case, of course, he has to sell it to the partner, not to anyone else. Yes. And shuf'a gives the co-owner the first right to purchase the share being sold, okay? Mm-hmm. To avoid bringing strangers into the partnership. Yes. Because, for example, I have a cousin, and our fathers were brothers, and they jointly owned a piece of land, like.
Yes.
And now our fathers have died, and I live with my cousin, and we jointly own a piece of land.
Right.
Now the thing, because there's a very important maslaha or good or interest in,
yes,
in the concept of shuf'a. Shuf'a means that your partner cannot sell it to anyone except you, and if he wants to sell it to someone else, he,
yes,
should get your consent.
Right.
Otherwise, there are some kind of issues which might develop as a result of bringing someone else, a stranger,
yes,
as a partner.
Mm.
And in the old days, of course, there were some kind of tribal issues.
Yes.
And the two tribes went to, they had disputes among themselves.
Mm.
And it was not permissible from the perspective of a tribe to sell one's property or land to another tribe, because they will be partners.
Yes.
And in that case, the two tribes will engage into some kind of conflict. It's not permissible. So this right of shuf'a gives the two owners, the first right to purchase the share being sold. Yes. And this is to avoid, as I said, bringing a stranger into the partnership. But this right only applies under specific legal conditions. If those conditions are not present, the sale to a third party stands, and the other partner must accept it, because everybody has his own property. He can sell it to anyone else he wants.
I see. Okay, very quick question, Sheikh. What is the ruling in the matter of dealing in shares in the stock exchange? It is to be noted, however, that the share itself is subject to the deal,
right,
rather than the capital of the company, and that the price of the shares might go up or even go down. And what is the view if the activities of some companies are either riba-based or doubtful?
Well, according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, shares in the stock market can be permissible to trade under certain conditions. Now, there are certain conditions which I would like to mention. According to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, if shares are recognized as independent financial units and their value is based on authorized records, then buying and selling them is lawful. This is the first condition. The second condition is that if shares represent a portion of the actual company assets, like factories, equipment, or capital, it is still permissible, but the details, like the total number of the shares and value of the company, should be clear. This, of course, prevents excessive uncertainty or a kind of, let's say, loss, gharar, in the deal. And then there's another, a third condition, and that condition is this, that if the company's main business involves riba, usury,
yes,
or other unlawful activities, or if it is doubtful whether it is permissible, then trading its shares is not allowed. In short, trading shares is shari if the company's activities are lawful and the trade is transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for example, if there is a company selling, for example, wine, alcohol, or instruments of gambling, of course, using the shares to engage in such kind of business which earns the company illicit interest, illicit profit,
mm-hmm.
is not permissible.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, and thank you, my dear listener, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.